Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
I'm Momo.
And this is Monstrous. This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners, and topics that may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. All right, welcome back, guys, for another spine-tingling episode of Spooky Games. This is Volume 2, where we are going to dive even deeper into the world of haunted and paranormal games. We have rituals and challenges that people have actually attempted, some with some terrifying consequences to them. So as you could hear from the intro, Mandy is not back today. She had something come up. With everything she has going on, she was not able to come back. So hopefully she'll be back on Friday for our Halloween episode.
I can't see her missing that one.
Right. And it's on Friday, which blows my mind. That's already Halloween. Yeah. Anyway.
If you thought Volume 1 was chilling, prepare yourself. Because this episode is loaded with 6 more games that blur the line between fun and fear.
In this round of games, you'll
stare into a mirror that might show you more than just your reflection.
Climb a staircase that may never end.
Confront a shadowy figure in a hat that watches your every move.
Place a penny on a table and wonder if it's bargaining for your soul.
Open 9 doors, each one hiding secrets better left alone.
And you'll sit in total darkness, daring to face the unknown in blackouts that test courage in ways you can't imagine.
These are real-life tales and encounters, so listen carefully and decide for yourself. If you want to play, we don't recommend it, though.
Make sure you're ready and maybe keep the lights on. So, Mama, if you're ready, I'll get us started.
Let's go.
All right. So we're starting Volume 2 with a classic, one that almost everyone has heard of, the Mirror Game. It's often associated with the urban legend of Bloody Mary, but its roots are far deeper. Tracing back to centuries-old folklore and superstitions surrounding mirrors. So, I never did Bloody Mary when I was in school.
No, me either. I'm too much of a coward.
I'm sure many other people have.
Oh, I had friends that did it.
Right, I did too. I just...
Y'all stupid.
Yeah. Nope, I'm good. In many cultures, mirrors were never just reflective surfaces. They were considered gateways to the spirit world, capable of reflecting not just the living, but also the souls of the departed. Think about that tradition where mirrors were covered after a death. That wasn't just respect. It was to prevent the recently deceased from becoming trapped, or worse, to stop spirits from crossing over and staying in the house. Over time, these beliefs evolved into ritualistic games. Whispered about it, sleepovers, and in ghost stories. The modern version most often links back to Bloody Mary, a spirit said to be summoned through the mirror. The exact origins of that name are debated, which last spooky season, I told the origins of Bloody Mary in one of the spooky episodes. So some of those origins trace it to Queen Mary I of England, who was infamous in her bloody persecution of Protestants. While there are others that claim it refers to a witch or tragic woman named Mary Worth. No matter the variation, the ritual has become a terrifying staple of urban legend culture. So, how do you play this one? To attempt the mirror game, you'll need the basics. A large mirror, a darkened room, and a phrase to chant. A candle is optional, but it is pretty traditional. So the process is simple, but the mental fortitude it takes isn't. You stand in front of the mirror in a dimly lit or completely dark room, holding the candle and chanting the chosen phrase, commonly Bloody Mary, a specific number of times, which it's usually 3, 5, and sometimes 13. We've also heard versions that require turning in circles or rocking back and forth before you begin the chant, which that one was new to me. I never heard anywhere you either walked in circles or rocked back and forth.
I walk in circles, I'm gonna be dizzy. Well, if you walk in circles too much, you're going to get dizzy.
Right.
And your mind will play tricks on you.
Right. So maybe that's the reason. Who knows? So the goal is always the same, to summon a spirit into the reflection of the mirror. But if the rules aren't followed precisely, or sometimes even if they are, the consequences can be severe. Legends claim that the spirit can attach itself to the player, cause hallucinations, or even follow you outside the ritual. So we hear a lot of stories about mysterious bruises, sudden illnesses, or reoccurring nightmares popping up after people have played the mirror game. Luckily, folklore suggests some protective measures. Things like surrounding the mirror with salt, using a crucifix, or crucially, never making direct eye contact with the mirror. Some variations even recommend having a second person in the room as a protector, though this definitely increases the risk of the spirit attaching to either of the participants. But the most important step is the closure. Most versions of the game agree that to properly end the ritual and send the spirit back, you must turn on the lights, blow out the candles, then immediately and completely smash or cover the mirror.
Yeah, I can't see even the boys smashing the mirror because they're going to get mama on their ass.
Not only that, that's 7 years of bad luck. No, thank you. I don't want either. No. Ugh. So the really dark versions of this game are even more chilling than the original. These ones warn that the spirit may drag your soul into the mirror, leaving only a shell of your body behind.
Now that bitch would say, she's damaged. I'm going to put her back.
Oh my God. Others say the reflection itself becomes wrong, that it might blink out of sync with you, smile when you don't, or linger even after you walk away from the glass.
No, thank you.
Right. And here's the ultimate terror. If you fail to physically destroy or seal the gateway, the ritual is not closed. This leaves the mirror open, allowing any spirit to cross freely into your home.
We get enough spirits in this house. We don't need any more.
So if the ritual is considered successful, the figure might appear briefly in the mirror or communicate through whispers, tapping, or movement. Some claim that the player may gain knowledge of the supernatural, a message from beyond, or even a glimpse of their own future. But there's always a price. The more time you spend staring into the mirror, the higher the chance of paranoia. So the stories that people share of this game are endless. Countless teens describe seeing ghostly women in the glass, sometimes a lady in white, sometimes a bloody face, sometimes just a shadow that moves independently. One chilling account tells of a teenager who saw her reflection slowly separate from her movement, whisper her name, and then vanish. Even paranormal investigators experimenting in abandoned places have reported strange effects like sudden temperature drops, drained batteries, and cameras glitching whenever the mirrors are involved. So now let's look at the skeptical side for a second. Experts suggest natural explanations for this.
Of course they do.
Right. Because there's a natural explanation for everything. So the Troxler effect, which is a neurological phenomenon, causes your brain to fade out details when you stare at one single spot for too long, and it replaces them with distortions or imagined shapes. Combined with pareidolia, which is seeing faces in random patterns, and the power of suggestion, This can easily create the illusion of something supernatural in the glass, even if it is not there.
Damn, some good drugs.
Oh my God, I can't with you. So that being said, the psychological toll can be very real. Prolonged fear rituals like the mirror game can trigger panic attacks, derealization, or sleep disturbances. So while science might explain the phenomenon, the terror that players feel is no less intense or real. So ultimately, the mirror game reflects a wider global dread of reflective surfaces. The belief that mirrors can hold or release entities isn't unique to Bloody Mary. It's a worldwide thread of folklore. Despite its playful reputation as sleepovers, the mirror game continues to carry a powerful warning. Mirrors are more than just glass. And sometimes what you see staring back might not be your own reflection. So that's why they say that you should never put a mirror against a wall that faces outside of your house. Because it's a gateway. And if you put a mirror on a wall that it's an external wall. If you put a mirror there, then it's a gateway for spirits that are outside the home to be able to enter your home.
Trust me, they wouldn't come in this house. They'd see them two boys and go, ah.
Well, oh God, you probably just broke everybody's ears. They won't, because I have my cinnamon broom. My wicker cinnamon broom hanging up.
Oh, the one over the door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep, those are used as protection. I gotta get a new one because it doesn't smell like cinnamon anymore. But
you really believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I also sage the house sometimes, which we need to redo. We haven't done that since right before you got here. So it's about time to redo that. But yeah, that broom right there, it said that you use it to ward off like bad energy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Okay, I'm trying to be open-minded here.
Yeah, same with the sage. It stinks and it's awful. But if you do it with
sage is so good in dressing, though.
Oh, my God. But you have to do, if you're going to sage, you have to open your doors and your windows. Because if not, whatever bad thing is in, whatever bad spirits or bad energy is in your house, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay. Your house is just going to smell like sage.
All you do is piss them off.
Right, pretty much. So you got to open your windows and your doors so that way they'll leave. Mm-hmm. That's what we did whenever we first moved to the house, because Dak said that he sees that
shadow figure.
Whatever it is. It freaked him out and he wouldn't sleep in his bedroom. Well, we saged the house and now he's been fine ever since.
He might be Aunt Debbie, and she sees spirits.
Mm-hmm. If you remember, he said that Mama Susie came to him in a dream, and he had no idea
right
who she was, because, you know, obviously he wasn't around when she died. Neither of them were, but
yeah,
clairvoyant.
That's clairvoyant. I knew there was a word for it.
I was sitting here trying to think of the word. That's the word.
Aunt Debbie's clairvoyant.
So I mean, he could be. They say,
and I've seen Mom and Dad.
They say that that stuff is like passed down
from generation mm-hmm. to generation. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And I've seen your grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
Your great grandparents, I should say.
That's how you sage anybody. You're going to play any of these spooky games. You should probably do this after. Just saying. Get you a cinnamon broom.
Before, during, and after.
Right. Get you a cinnamon broom, hang it above your door.
Would cinnamon pine cones work?
No, because it's what the broom is made out of, really.
The straw?
Yeah. The cinnamon is just kind of, like, obviously makes it smell good. But the cinnamon itself is said to, like, the smell of it. Kind of like sage is supposed to, like, ward them away. But it's more of what the broom is, because it's one of those wicker straw brooms.
Yeah.
It's more of what the broom is supposed to ward off. Evil vibes and bad feelings and, you know, something
bad
like that.
Mojo.
Yep.
Cool.
Even if it doesn't work, it makes for a pretty cool decoration.
And it smells good.
Yeah, that too. So, to each their own. Whatever.
That's probably why I have a cinnamon wax woman. I never thought of it.
I don't think that's going to work the same.
No, but it smells good.
Okay, anyway, game two. Sorry, guys.
From the reflection staring back at you in the mirror, we now step away and onto a staircase that may never end. Great. If you thought what you saw in the glass was unsettling, wait until the floor beneath your feet begins to betray you. Might do that anyway. The hidden staircase game has roots in European and East Asian folklore, where staircases and thresholds are long considered liminal spaces or places where the living world and the spirit world could briefly intersect. Victorian era children and teenagers would often play similar courage games to test their bravery, often attempting to communicate with spirits by walking in specific patterns up and down the stairs. I'm lucky if I can.
What the fuck ever happened to a trust fall?
A what?
A trust fall.
I don't know what that is.
Where you're just like, person has to catch you?
I'd land flat on my butt.
But you get what I'm saying? Who was like, oh, let me just see if I can trust you and show how brave I am and prove to myself I have courage by fucking with spirit? What the fuck? Like, I know they were bored back then, but...
Yeah, they didn't have
a ball or something.
They don't have all the doodads that all these teenagers have today.
Well, shit, I didn't either, but you didn't see me out here doing stupid shit with some damn stairs. What the fuck? Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Over time, this practice evolved into what is now referred to as hidden staircase game, with variations appearing in different cultures around the world.
Right.
Which is true. I mean, every culture will take something and make it their own.
Right.
In Japan, for example, the concept of the endless staircase, Owari no Nai Keidan,
works for me,
appears in Keidan ghost stories, warning that one might climb and never return.
Oh.
In Mexico, legends of La Escalera. I'm butchering this shit.
Hey, it's all right.
In Encantada. Tells of staircases in old haciendas where footsteps echo after dark, believed to be spirits retracing their final steps. Even in Western Europe, folklore sometimes painted stairways as dangerous passageways for the soul, with tales of spirits waiting at the top or bottom to lure the living.
Ugh.
It was like, come on down.
It's like the stairway to heaven and the stairway to hell is kind of what it sounds like.
Or Bob Barker going, come on down.
Oh, God. You're too much.
I'm tired. To play, first you need a staircase in a dimly lit house, ideally with multiple steps and no interruptions. Some versions suggest candles or small tokens like coins to leave as offerings. Others require no physical objects, just focus and courage. So this really depends on where you're from and which version you hear. Now we get into the main action. Players must walk a specific pattern along the stairs, stepping in a precise sequence, sometimes counting aloud, while maintaining absolute concentration. Well, I'm out on that one because I can't concentrate for squat. This isn't a simple walk. Common rules require you skip certain steps or perhaps ascend 10 steps only to descend 9, forcing a rhythmic, unsettling imbalance.
Ugh.
I'd trip over my own.
Right?
The primary rule and warning is simple. You must follow the pattern exactly. Hesitation or mistakes are said to anger the spirit. Some legends say failing to complete the sequence can lead to nightmares, hallucinations, strange occurrences in the home. Critically, participants are warned not to stop mid-ritual, and some versions insist on leaving a token at the base of the stairs to appease the entity.
Ugh.
I ain't giving that heifer no money.
Right?
I ain't got no money to give. So what happens if you lose or do something wrong? The game is said to invoke spirits and entities that might follow players after the ritual. Failing the pattern can result in temporary hauntings, disorientation, misfortune. Players often report seeing shadowy figures, hearing unexplained footsteps, or experiencing sudden cold spots. Some darker variations suggest that the spirit could attach itself to your personal energy, lingering until an additional ritual or offering is performed. In the worst case scenario, great, mistakes can trap you in an endless staircase loop where you climb but never seem to reach the top.
Oh, what the fuck?
A sensation that sometimes lingers in dreams long after the ritual is over.
No, thank you.
Unlike many spooky games that focus only on punishment, the Hidden Staircase game occasionally includes rewards for success.
Occasionally?
Hey, I didn't write this.
The fuck?
Legends claim that players who complete the sequence flawlessly may glimpse into their future at the top or bottom step. Some believe the ritual can bring protection from restless spirits, as if the successful climb proves one's spiritual strength. Others suggest you may hear a whisper offering advice, a warning, or a cryptic clue about your life.
Oh, yeah. Make me do this. And then give me a fucking puzzle or riddle to solve. Thanks. That was so worth it.
That was telling us that we shouldn't have read this. Okay. However, these rewards are always paired with warnings. Just because the game can be won doesn't mean it's without cost. And those who seek answers may not like what they find. Hey, that's true in anything.
That's why you just don't play it. No thanks.
Reports from those who have dared to venture these stairs include many participants describing feeling a presence on the stairs, especially when the performing the ritual alone. I ain't gonna do it by myself. Oh, hell no.
Right? Like, how's anybody gonna know what happened?
I'm scared to push me down them stairs. Some have reported cold breezes, whispers, sudden drops in temperature. A well-known internet forum story tells of a player who, after completing the sequence, found themselves at the top of the staircase that should have not existed in their house, leading to a pitch black void.
Ooh.
When they stepped back, the staircase was gone. While most experiences are anecdotal, the game has become a staple in paranormal storytelling due to these consistently eerie reports. Speaking of haunted staircases, I have a few pretty famous ones that are said to be generally spooky. Number one, the Winchester Mystery House in California. Known for its stairs to nowhere, which abruptly stops at ceilings, often said to confuse or trap spirits. It's the Loftus Hall in Ireland. Its main staircase is tied to a legend of a visitor revealed to be the devil himself.
Oh.
Edinburgh Castle in Scotland. You know, Edinburgh Castle was one of the castles that Queen Elizabeth used to live in?
Mm-hmm. It's Edinburgh, but yeah.
Edinburgh. Oh, pardon me. Several staircases within the castle are said to echo with the footsteps of the dead, particularly really? Soldiers lost to time.
No, thank you.
Now, I haven't forgot to tell you how to safely end the game the way tradition suggests. Leave a token at the base of the stairs as an offering. Recite a protective phrase or prayer before stepping off the last stair. Light a candle at the bottom and let it burn safely down, symbolically closing the passage.
So wait, you have to leave two coins at the bottom of the stairs?
Leave a token at the base.
Leave one when you start and one when you finish?
Apparently, they're money hungry, man. They got no money.
They're ghosts. What are they going to do with it?
They want to hear the jingle in their pocket. Not ending the ritual properly is said to leave the doorway open, allowing the entity to linger in your home. We have covered so far. This one also has a powerful psychological and folklore impact. Playing the games can induce heightened anxiety and hyper-awareness, making shadows and sounds seem far more threatening than they might. Folklorists suggest the game persists because of its combination of fear, suspense, tradition, stupidity, effectively keeping the legend alive. Psychologists link the endless staircase sensation to reoccurring dreams, motifs of being lost or trapped, representing unresolved fears. Go figure. Whether or not a spirit is truly summoned, the game's psychological effects are very real, creating experiences that participants describe as unexplainable and chilling.
Ooh.
Since all that is spooky is once again taking off and becoming more popular, we see this game influencing modern culture. Oh, brother. On TikTok and YouTube, paranormal enthusiasts have revived the hidden staircase game as a part of the scary challenge trends. Horror writers and indie filmmakers have used the staircases as metaphors for purgatory, the subconscious, or hidden portals. The ideas of stairs to nowhere continues to fascinate audiences, blending architectural oddity with supernatural fear. Now we're going to go on to Carrie.
That game is the definite fuck around and find out. All right. Having climbed endless stairs, your courage is tested, but the journey isn't over. Shadows linger in the corners, and one figure may be watching more closely than you realize. We're going to meet the Hat Man, a chilling presence that waits for those brave or foolish enough to summon him. So I want to do an episode on the Hat Man, because I've heard a lot about him.
Okay.
But I don't think there's enough to do an entire episode. So if any of our listeners have any stories of their own or from family members, friends, whatever, send those in to us if they involve the Hat Man. I want to do an episode and we can include some of those. Because this guy is crazy. Spirit, demon, whatever it is. Crazy. So send those in, email those, send us those on Facebook. And then we'll get those out on with an episode specifically on the Hat Man. Okay, so the Hat Man ritual stems from folklore and modern reports of a shadowy figure known simply as the Hat Man. Sightings of this entity have been reported worldwide for decades, often described as a tall, shadowy humanoid wearing a wide-brimmed hat. Now, historically, shadow people have been tied to sleep paralysis, cultural superstitions, and warnings of impending misfortune. The Hat Man specifically is said to appear to those who engage in certain ritualistic games or summonings, often in dark or isolated places. So while the exact origins of the Hat Man are unclear, he has become a staple in modern paranormal lore and online creepypasta communities, where accounts and instructions for summoning him have proliferated. Paranormal researcher Heidi Hollis even helped bring him into the mainstream in the 1990s through interviews and books, after hundreds of people shared eerie similar experiences of seeing the same figure. So in order to do the Hat Man ritual, what you will need depends. So there are several variations depending on where you live, but for the most part, all of the steps are similar. You need a dimly lit room, which is usually a hallway, a basement, or an attic. You need either a chair or a piece of paper with the words welcome written on it to invite the entity again or in. Again, this part depends on where you live. And this is typically done around 3 a.m., also known as the witching hour. So the primary rules for this game are mental, not physical. So no objects are strictly necessary, but the ritual guide emphasizes being respectful and never taunting the figure. So now I do have a serious warning for you. Players are recommended not to attempt this alone if they're easily frightened, as the ritual thrives on silence, darkness, and fear. So what can happen if you do this wrong? The Hat Man may instill intense fear, lingering dread, or cause participants to experience sleep disturbances. Some reports claim that he appears more aggressively if disrespected, staring at the participant or even following after they leave the ritual area. Breaking the ritual's rules can result in hallucinations, sudden cold spots, or a sense of being watched for days afterwards. In extreme anecdotal cases, Players report feeling a dark presence in their home until they perform a lengthy cleansing ritual.
I ain't doing a short one.
So along with what happens if you lose, we're going to take a look at what happens if you win. So most players consider simply surviving the ritual without lasting effects a win. But legends claim that those who face the Hat Man without running may receive something in return, a cryptic message, insight into the future, or even the removal of a fear that has haunted them.
Oh, great. So he's going to give us another freaking puzzle.
Pretty much. That, or he's just going to take away a fear that you have. I mean, that would be nice. Like, I don't do spiders. That would be nice.
I don't do height.
See? That, see? But I don't, you don't get to choose. He does one of those three. Okay. Some stories suggest that confronting him bravely causes him to vanish permanently, as though the participant has passed a test. Still, any reward comes at a cost. Even players who claim victory often describe lingering paranoia or memories so vivid that they feel more like trauma than triumph. Real-life encounters and experiences include many people describing seeing a tall, faceless shadow wearing a hat, often standing silently in corners, doorways, or at the foot of their bed. Witnesses consistently mention feelings of paralysis, intense dread, and the overwhelming sensation of being watched. So what makes the Hat Man particularly unnerving is his apparent passivity. So unlike other spirits that might scratch or throw objects, the Hat Man's signature move is to just stand, silently observing you, which creates an agonizing psychological torment. Yeah. So some say that once the Hat Man is invited, he doesn't disappear completely. He may return in dreams, reflections, or the edge of your vision, especially if the ritual is repeated. So this is a one and done kind of thing.
No crap. Shit.
So stories of the Hat Man surged in the late 1990s and early 2000s on shows like Coast to Coast AM, where multiple callers described nearly identical encounters despite having no contact with each other. Like many paranormal games, ending the Hat Man ritual properly is considered essential. The tradition suggests a clear closing. First, you must verbally dismiss him. So you say aloud, "You are not welcome here." You must break the darkness. So you have to extinguish the candle or turn on the light or whatever it was that you used to just make it dim. You use the invitation paper that you wrote welcome on and you have to destroy it. So the best way to do that is by burning the welcome paper after you have crossed it out and written goodbye. Then you burn it. And then finally, you place a protective barrier. So salt, iron, or some kind of religious symbol at the threshold of the room to seal yourself off.
They don't want much, do they?
Nope.
That's a lot of work.
So players who skip these steps often report that the Hat Man continues to appear in their dreams or peripheral vision for days or even weeks afterward.
Great.
Yeah.
That's all right. My vision is not that great anymore, so.
My God. I have perfect peripheral vision, so. So researchers and skeptics suggest that the Hat Man experiences are often linked to hypnagogic, hallucinations, sleep paralysis, and heightened anxiety. Darkness, isolation, and expectation of the paranormal amplify perception, causing ordinary shadows or movements to be interpreted as threatening figures. Even so, the shared cultural image of a tall hat-wearing shadow gives these experiences a chilling uniformity that makes them memorable and terrifying. The Hat Man has inspired indie horror films, creepypasta stories, and even a 2019 documentary titled The Hat Man, Documented Cases of Pure Evil.
Hey, I wonder if he's related to Freddy and all them.
Oh my God. I can, you know the Freddy in Nightmare on Elm Street, he was inspired by a real person. You know that, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Not everybody knows that.
I read the article.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's creepy.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, anyway. Fun fact for today. On Reddit and other forums, threads about shadow people nearly always include Hatman encounters, cementing him as one of the most feared shadow entities. Scholars often connect the Hatman to the Grim Reaper, old hag sleep paralysis legends, or even the Jugaian archetypes of collective fear. So that's our Hatman for now.
Game number four.
Yep.
Penny for your soul. After encountering a shadowy figure in its wide brim hat, it's time to shift from the tense, terrifying end scene to the seemingly ordinary. A small coin on a table that might not look dangerous, but in Penny for Your Soul, even the smallest object can carry a heavy price. That was a penny for your thoughts.
Right.
The Penny for Your Soul game has roots in Victorian era spiritualism. When people use coins, tables, and other small objects to communicate with spirits. Over time, this evolved into a modern folklore surrounding haunted and cursed pennies, often tied to summoning or bargaining with entities. No! I'm not, no!
Right. No penny is worth that much.
In older traditions, coins were placed on the eyes of the dead. Now, I have heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that, too.
Or left on graves as offerings, symbolizing payment for passage into the afterlife.
On the, like, the Grim Reaper's ferry or whatever it is.
Something like that. Myths about paying the ferryman, Charon.
I was ahead of you. My bad.
With coins also echo here. Okay, I've screwed myself up. Tying the ritual to ancient beliefs about currency as a bridge between worlds. Some legends suggest cursed coins can carry residual energy, and using them in rituals opens the door to spirits both mischievous and malevolent.
Did I say that wrong? Malevolent.
Thank you. I can't say it for the flipping movie. You know that.
That's Maleficent.
I can't say that either. In the 20th and 21st centuries. Hey, we are in the 21st century. The game gained popularity in an online paranormal communities and storytelling circles. Its notoriety lies in the blending the tangible, the coin, with the invisible world of spirits echoing centuries of superstition. What you need to play is simple. A single penny, sometimes a lucky or old coin is preferred, a quiet, dimly lit room, and a flat surface like a table. You can also use a candle for ambiance or protection, and a piece of paper to write the spirit's name or intentions, but these are optional. Ain't none of it gonna happen, I'm sorry. In order to play, you place the penny in the center of the surface and state a question or summon the spirit with a ritual phrase. For example, many players use a simple but direct question like, "Spirit, are you here to bargain?" Or a phrase like, "A penny for your soul."
Maybe from that's here. Where a penny for your thought came from.
I never thought of that. From here, the penny is said to move on its own, flip, or slide to indicate response. The cardinal rule is to stay calm, maintain focus, and follow the ritual exactly. Mistakes can anger the spirits. The game is considered particularly dangerous because it combines superstitions with a tangible object, making the threat feel immediate and personal. You may experience sudden cold drafts, hear knocking sounds, or see objects moving unexpectedly. You may also suffer from intense nightmares or see shadowy figures appearing. In escalated cases, the penny becomes charged, causing objects to break. Hey, it's in bold letters. You gotta enunciate stronger.
That was great.
Causing objects to break, lights to flicker, or feel unusually cold to the touch for days.
I hope there's another bold word. That was great.
Breaking the rules can trap the spirit in your home until a cleansing ritual is performed. Ignoring safety precautions like attempting alone or at night only intensifies the phenomena. If you successfully complete the game, Penny may move in response to your questions, indicating communication. Participants might gain insight, warnings about future events, or answers to personal questions. But there is always a price.
Of course.
Would there be any other way?
No. Nope.
I mean, the greedy little fucker.
I know, you can't just give it to me.
I know, right? Winning requires respect, focus, and precision. Even then, the experience can be unsettling. Some variations suggest the spirit takes the penny as payment and leaves you in peace. But keeping the coin may carry a lingering curse. So maybe you don't keep it for yourself. It's a bold letter. Real life encounters describe pennies flipping or sliding as if controlled by unseen hands. You know what this reminds me of? The Ouija board.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, thank you. That thing creeped me out.
I'm good.
And I don't believe in half of this crap.
Yeah.
But that just looking at it creeps me out.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Let's see, where was I?
I don't know.
Real life encounters describe pennies flipping or sliding as if controlled by unseen hands, along with sudden chills, whispers, and feelings of being watched. Some participants also claim their pennies seem tainted, causing strange events until it was properly disposed of by being buried at crossroads, tossed into running water, or burned. You can't burn a penny.
Right. Maybe it just means like throwing it in a fire and like charring it. You know what I mean?
Just take it out to the river and toss it.
It might not work though.
Like all rituals, properly closing the game is essential. You have to thank the spirit.
Thank you.
Aloud before ending the game. Move the penny to the edge of the table and flip it once to signify closure. Extinguish all lights, blow out candles, or turn on the main room lights. Dispose of the invitation, burn any written paper and scatter the ashes outside. Seal the object. Scatter salt over the penny before discarding it to prevent lingering attachment. Improper closure risks leaving the doorway open, inviting continued disturbances and the lingering fear or paranoia that the spirit is attached to you.
No thanks.
So do it right. Psychological analysis of this game reveals that the heightened focus on a single object in a dim light amplifies perception and misinterprets normal movements as supernatural. Cognitive biases, like the ideomotor effect, contribute to this experience. Ritual suggestion, and folklore create a vivid psychological imprint that players remember long after the game, suggesting the greatest impact comes from the tales themselves. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally, this game has gained popularity on YouTube, TikTok, and creepypasta.
Did you say TikTok?
I may have. It's supposed to be TikTok. Creepypasta forums?
Yeah.
As a coin toss with the dead? No. Its connection to ancient coin offerings deepens the sense of danger. Some modern superstitions can cause caution against picking up coins from the ground, fearing the residual ritual energy. Independent filmmakers and storytellers have even adapted the game into short horror films and podcasts, cementing its paranormal reputation. Now, I'm sorry, you see a penny on the ground, it's find a penny, pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck.
Only if it's heads up.
Now, that's not what it says.
If it's on tails, you're supposed to flip it over so somebody else gets the good luck.
Oh.
Yep. I don't like that one.
The penny one?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's why all my pennies are stuck in a jar over there. They ain't going nowhere.
Oh, God. Okay. From a coin that bargains for your soul. We now, what?
Now the coins are, our souls are worth more than freaking coins are anymore.
I know pennies aren't worth shit no more. Anyway, From a coin that bargains for your soul, we now move to a ritual of choice and consequence. 9 doors stand before you, each hiding secrets that may be better left alone. One wrong move and what lurks behind them may not let you leave unscathed.
I'm good.
Right? The game of 9 doors is an urban legend and haunted game originating in Japan, tied to centuries of folklore about summoning spirits and navigating cursed rituals. Japanese spiritual traditions emphasize thresholds and boundaries between the living and the spirit world. The 9 doors symbolize 9 critical thresholds. Suggest each door must be opened with precision to avoid inviting malevolent entities. So often these spirits are said to be yori, ghosts of the dead who cannot find peace, or onryo, vengeful spirit.
That's where the word onry comes from.
Maybe. These are vengeful spirits who specifically target the living.
Sounds like my ex-husband.
The game gained modern notoriety through online horror forums, social media, and YouTube videos where participants recount eerie experiences blending suspicion, ritual, and fear. Its popularity lies in combining skill, focus, and courage with the risk of supernatural consequences that are often framed as psychological tests of respect for unseen forces. So, what you need for this is simple. 9 cards, numbered 1 through 9, or a sheet of paper with 9 doors drawn. A dimly lit room, a candle, and a paper to record your progress. You'll arrange the cards or doors in a 3x3 grid. Each door corresponds to a spirit or challenge. So once you're set up, you begin playing. You select 1 door at a time, calling it aloud while maintaining absolute focus. You follow the sequence strictly. Hesitating, pausing, or skipping steps can provoke supernatural consequences. You have to open all 9 doors without angering any of the spirits. So some variations require leaving tokens or verbal acknowledgments at each door. But this all depends on the area in which you live or who told you about the game. So this game is considered highly dangerous because it relies on strict precision. The strict rules increase psychological pressure, making the fear feel very real. If you make a mistake or fail to close the game, the consequences can be swift. Opening a door incorrectly can provoke chills, whispers, shadow figures, or objects moving inexplicably. Repeated mistakes may result in a spirit following the player outside the game, potentially leading to a long-term psychological stress or paranormal activity. Players often report feelings of dread, headaches, or being watched after mistakes. The main terror of this is that not closing the game can leave a permanent connection to the spirit world, requiring protective rituals to sever that attachment. Successfully opening all doors may allow communication with benign spirits or glimpses into the spirit world. Players may gain knowledge or warnings about unseen events. However, even successful completion can induce heightened awareness and lingering unease. In real-life accounts, participants report shadowy figures moving at the edge of their vision, whispering, sudden noises, and objects shifting unexpectedly, especially after missteps. Some players feel a presence lingering for days or experience vivid nightmares. Online horror forums and YouTube recount consistent patterns of fear and anomaly following attempts of this ritual. So properly closing the game is absolutely crucial to prevent the doors from remaining open. So to end the ritual safely, you have to verbally bid farewell to the spirits. You have to extinguish your candle safely, and you have to perform protective gestures or leave tokens at the grid's corners. Skipping the closure risks a lingering spiritual attachment or residual paranormal activity in your own space. So psychological analysis reveals that the combination of ritual, focus, and fear heightens the anxiety. Concentrating on precise sequences in darkness amplifies ordinary shadows and sounds. Anticipation and expectation intensify perceived paranormal activities. So it could just be your brain. Culturally, this game has inspired online forums, TikTok challenges, and horror short films. Parallels exist in Japanese Kaidan tales about liminal thresholds and spirit-bound architecture. Modern adaptions of this emphasize the high stakes, psychological and supernatural challenge of the Nine Doors game. And you have our last game for this one.
The blackout game.
Mm-hmm.
After opening doors that guard the unknown, there's one final challenge where the only light you'll see is the one you bring yourself. In the blackout game, darkness is absolute and the unseen waits patiently for you to step inside. Wrong. The blackout game is a modern urban legend blending paranormal storytelling and psychological thrill seeking. Its roots trace back to teenage dare rituals where players turned off all the lights and attempted to contact unseen forces in darkness. Folklore suggests that sensory deprivation heightens perception and allowing spirits or shadow entities to manifest more easily. Some accounts linked the game to poltergeist activity, vengeful spirits, or shadow people. Over time, it becomes a staple of online forums, YouTube horror challenges, haunted house lore. Wrong. Somebody's doing some good drugs, I swear. What you need is simple. A room that can be completely darkened, optional candles for safety, a phone or clock to track the time. The instructions for playing are precise. First, you must create total darkness. Turn off all the lights, close the doors, cover any mirrors. Then you must wait. Remain completely silent and still for a crucial 10 to 15 minutes. You know I'd have to go to the bathroom in that time.
Right? No sense.
Yeah, there's no way.
I'm good.
During this time, you attempt to sense or communicate with unseen presence. Many guides insist that you must remain standing or sitting upright, making the intense stillness physically uncomfortable and forcing your body into a state of hyper-awareness. The most crucial rule is simple. Avoid any movement or making any noise. And we've learned from every game so far, movement or sound can provoke spirits and lead to consequences.
Ugh.
This game is considered highly dangerous because it relies on profound psychological vulnerability. Most people nowadays ain't got that kind of vulnerability.
Well, that's what the sensory deprivation is for, is to make you vulnerable. I'm good. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm okay. It can trigger anxiety. Yeah, I take medicine for that, so I ain't too worried about that one. Paranoia and reoccurring nightmares without actual supernatural presence. If you move, speak, open your eyes too early, you may provoke the entities. Players report feeling sudden chills, hearing whispers, knocking sounds, seeing shadowy figures. Unsafe environments can result in accidents or psychological distress, including panic attacks. Repeated mistakes while playing may exacerbate fear, sleep disturbance, trigger reoccurring nightmares, or even hallucinations. The lore emphasizes respect for unseen forces. Not completing the ritual or ignoring the rules may leave the entities attached to the room or player, potentially leading to long-term disturbances.
Oh, fuck. I'm over this game.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm not even done yet. If you successfully complete the blackout, it may prove courage and allow brief contact with benign entities. Some participants have claimed visions, messages, heightened intuition. However, even success can leave a lingering psychological effect, heightening your awareness of your surroundings for days afterwards. Now that I can understand.
Giving my courage to someone is not worth all that. I'm good. No thanks.
No. Real life accounts are strikingly similar, including reports of hearing footsteps, whispers, faint voices. Some players describe feeling a heavy room, sudden cold spots, unseen presence, shadowy figures, glowing eyes, and fleeting shapes appear in many accounts. And forms consistently describe similar sensory phenomena during and after the gameplay. It didn't look right to me. And in the ritual, safely is the key to preventing residual activity and ensuring the well-being of the player. To close the game, you must gradually restore light to the room. Don't just flip a switch.
What if that's all you have? What the fuck are you supposed to do?
I guess turn on your phone, I guess. I don't know. Recite protective phrases or prayers aloud. Leave a token or offering as a thanks or closing gesture. Ensure all participants are accounted for and calm. Oops, I got one missing.
Bob over here is in the corner crying. That's great.
That was great. Oh,
Freddy's missing. Anyway.
No, Freddy's up front. Not closing the ritual may leave lingering fear or supernatural disturbances, confirming the improper closure risks you're feeling followed. The psychological analysis of Blackout Game is clear. Fear, expectation, and sensory deprivation combine to produce intense experiences. Darkness heightens the awareness of sounds and minor movements. Prior knowledge of the game amplifies perceived paranormal events. It can induce panic and lingering unease, even without true supernatural presence. Culturally, this game appears frequently on YouTube, TikTok, and horror forums. Parallels exist with shadow person lore, sleep paralysis, haunted house rituals. Some indie horror creators use the blackout as a motif for psychological tension, spiritual vulnerability, and cementing its place in modern paranormal culture.
So, as the darkness lifts and your eyes adjust, the echoes of the blackout game may still linger. Footsteps you didn't hear, whispers you weren't sure were real. 6 games, 6 rituals, 6 challenges. Each one testing courage, curiosity, and perhaps a little bit of your sanity.
And now, having faced mirrors, stairs, shadows, coins, doors, and darkness itself, it's time to step back into the light, or at least what passes for it.
And that concludes volume 2 of our spooky games. 6 more haunted rituals and paranormal challenges that prove fear can be just a heartbeat away.
These real-life encounters, stories that blur the line between legend and reality, some of them may be just tales, but some might linger a little too close to home. So if you're tempted to try, think carefully, because once you start, you might not be able to stop.
If our games this round kept you on the edge, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and share with those who dare to listen. You can also reach out to us on Facebook and email. Those links are going to be in the description as always. Send us over those Hatman firsthand encounters, stories passed to you. Send those over to either one of those places, and we will include those in a future Hatman episode. All right, guys, we'll be back on Friday with another Montrose episode. This one is going to be our Halloween special. It's going to be a double feature. So until then, sorry to keep the lights on.
Keep the lights on. Trust your instincts. And remember, sometimes the scariest things are the ones you invite in yourself. Ain't that the truth?
And as always, we hope you keep listening. And remember to
watch for monsters.
And don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.